knows we're here, Teller said, thinking out loud. But he hasn't come for us. He cut his gaze to Arto's. Obviously, he's waiting to see what we enter into the Navicomputer so he can beat us there.
So he and Vader, and whoever else, maybe the entire Imperial Navy by this time, can beat us there,
the Mon Cal said.
No doubt they're calculating all possible jump egresses from this system.
Teller nodded in agreement. Of which there have to be dozens.
Meanwhile, Salik said, the Navy's deploying ships to every system where Tarkin thinks we'll show ourselves.
Honora looked up from studying her hands.
Is there a way to enter false coordinates into the Navi computer?
Salik shook his head negatively.
Not while that tracker is enabled.
No one spoke for a moment, and Teller said, At this point, we just need to buy some time, right? So suppose we supply Tarkin with jump coordinates into a very busy star system. Honora's thin eyebrows formed a V.
I don't see how that helps us, unless you're counting on hiding in a traffic jam.
We supply the coordinates, Teller said. But we don't jump.
You mean?
We get someone else to do it.
Standing proudly on the elevated command bridge walkway of the Star Destroyer Executrix, Tarkin felt more at home than he had in years. An Imperial-class wedge-shaped Titan, the warship had just decanted in the Obroa Sky system, after a jump from Lantilles, on Tarkin's learning that the Carrion Spike was on her way. The panoramic view through the bridge's bay of trapezoidal windows included nearly all the ships that made up the task force. In the distance, positioned against a radiant sweep of stars, floated three interdictor vessels. A Detainer CC-2200, a newer model CC-7700 frigate, and, fresh from deep dock in the Corellia system and as yet untested, an Immobilizer 418. Thickly armored, the former two had downsloping bows and stubby wing-like lateral projections housing quartets of gravity well projectors. The Immobilizer, by contrast, featured four hemispherical projectors aft on the ship's sharp-bowed hull. Deployed in the middle distance between the interdictors and the executrix were frigates, pickets, and gunboats. The centermost picket carried Vader, Crest, promoted by Vader to lieutenant, and some two dozen stormtroopers who made up a boarding party in the unlikely event that the Carrion Spike could be retaken without a fight, or at least put out of commission rather than reduced to wreckage. A holo table situated starboard and below the elevated command walkway displayed a 3D chronometer counting down in standard time to the Carrion Spike's estimated moment of arrival. As expected, the dissidents had jumped the ship from her original location to the remote Thustra system, and after spending several hours there, had charged the Navicomputer to plot a course for Obroa Sky. The ETA was based on the assumption that the Carrion Spike had gone to light speed at that moment or soon after, and on how quickly the Corvette's Class 1 hyperdrive could deliver her. An earlier-than-expected arrival would find the ship reverting to real space deeper in system, where other Imperial warships, including the Goliath, were positioned to intercept her. A more sophisticated homing beacon would have allowed Tarkin to track the Corvette through hyperspace by way of S-thread transceivers, but the stormtrooper squadron assigned to the Findar fuel tanker had had access only to a basic device that interfaced with the ship's navicomputer. A specialist, seated at a console in the most forward of the sunken data pits, got Tarkin's attention.
Sir, the quarry is due at T-minus 120.
Tarkin angled the microphone of his headset closer to his mouth and opened the battle net to the task force liaison officer, who was aboard the CC-7700 frigate.
The projectors are powering up to high gain, Governor Tarkin,
the commander said.
The field will be initiated, then disabled, in an effort to keep from dragging vessels other than the quarry from hyperspace. I should caution, however, that that may be unavoidable, given the heavy traffic in this system.
I understand, Commander, Tarkin said. Order your technicians to be judicious, nonetheless.
I will, sir, but the power setting of the gravity wells is dictated to some extent by the relative speed of the targeted ship. And, well, sir, to be blunt about it, there aren't many as fast as the Carrion Spike.
Tarkin pinched his lower lip in thought. Ideally, local systems would have been notified that Obroa Sky had been designated a no-entry zone, but Naval Command had opted against issuing the designation for fear of alerting the dissidents. He had other reasons for concern. Chiefly, the question of why the dissidents would jump to Obroa Sky, which lacked anything in the way of an Imperial target, and was known mostly for its med centers and libraries. T-minus 30 and counting, the specialist in the data pit announced. Moving to the forward end of the walkway, Tarkin fixed his gaze on the trio of interdictors. Arms folded across his chest, he counted down in silence, even while the voice of the specialist was doing the same in his right earbead. The countdown had just reached T-minus 5 when Tarkin was yanked forward, nearly completely off his feet. Fearing another lurch, he spread his hands wide and so was kept from being slammed headfirst into the closest viewport panel. Klaxons began to howl throughout the suddenly trembling command bridge as the giant ship groaned and lurched yet again in the direction of the distant interdictors. Struggling to remain upright, Tarkin caught a glimpse of the middle-distance frigates and pickets being pulled forward, almost as if accelerating. "Commander!" he shouted into the headset mouthpiece. "The field is too powerful."
"Working on it, sir,"
the commander said with equal volume.
"It's the immobilizer. The overcurrent resistors failed to prevent the gravitic systems from redlining."
The comlink connection broke. Close to the interdictors, ships began to appear, where there had only been star-filled space. Tarkin turned from the forward bay and stumbled back to the data pit to study the magnified view on one of the screens. First to drop out of hyperspace was an outmoded saucer-shaped YT-1000 freighter, followed by two angular transports and a lustrous space yacht. Then another freighter winked into visibility, followed by two passenger vessels. Abruptly, Tarkin felt as if he'd been shoved toward the rear of the bridge. With the interdiction field neutralized, the ships that had been caught in the invisible web began to whirl out of control. Two of the ships collided and drifted out of view. The magnification screen showed the sublight engines of other ships flashing, but the ships barely had a chance to flee or correct their spins when